This has been one of the most entertaining episodes that we've ever recorded. And in this episode, we are going to talk about Real Madrid's transfer policy, Eden Hazard's Real Madrid situation, and the Qatar 2022 World Cup. So let's get right into it.
Hello, good morning, and good evening. Welcome to another episode of our podcast, Ballers in Pajamas. We've got a lot of good topics today, and I really hope you'll enjoy them. The first one is a big topic. We are talking about the Qatar 2022 World Cup. The Qatar 2022 World Cup is going to be a winter World Cup, and there are a lot of issues along with it. Let's go into them one by one. Shubham, I've heard a lot of issues with regards to labor, the working conditions. Can you give us more information on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the working condition over there in Qatar has been really terrible for the migrant workers that are there. Migrant workers, if you see, are majorly from the countries like Nepal, Bhutan, India, and Pakistan, majorly the Southeast Asia. And they are from the backward families which have very poor economic condition. And they have they were given quite a bit of bait, and they were called there. And by Amnesty International, till 2018, there were around 2,000 deaths in Qatar itself.
Wow. Okay.
Related to this project. And it has been estimated that by the time there is the first kickoff, the death toll will be around 4,000. And that is strictly related to the poor working conditions there in Qatar.
That is not the best of news I would hope to hear of with regards to the World Cup. I hear a lot of information of how, with just regards to the play, you know, how hot it's going to be. It's going to be a different type of play over there. I also hear the news of AC stadiums. But with regards to just the players, there's a lot of things that will come down to the local clubs, how well they can do. How, Nihal, any your thoughts on that?
See, this World Cup, right, upcoming World Cup, I think it's going to be a very different one, you know, for the domestic club competitions and Champions League and also the World Cup itself. Because I would like to say, like, you know, first comes to the player's fitness. You know, no big player like Ronaldo or Messi who will be in 35, 34, they don't want to run down in La Liga games at all. All the big players, right, from the big teams, they will stop playing for club itself. They'll just act as a substitute or something before the World Cup begins.
Okay.
And, you know, that will cause some, how to say, a distress in the club itself, right? Because, see, a top club, say that Barcelona or Real Madrid, where they have, you know, players from all the different countries, almost the entire first squad, right? So, none of the players, I mean, they won't be ready to tackle. So, the defenders won't be ready to tackle because they knew, what if they get an injury, they'll be out of the World Cup squad, right? They played free, just like they're practicing a friendly, they're playing a friendly game. That doesn't give you results, right? I mean, see, if you take one example, a mediocre team who don't have many national team players. So they have their full squad. So, you know, they, those teams can pounce on these big teams' weakness and, you know, they can go to the top of the table. Say teams like, you know, Valencia or Athletic Bilbao, these kind of teams. So, but, you know, Premier League is a different thing because, you know, even the clubs like Everton have, you know, many national teams. Members,
yes,
so you can't
right.
really say that about Premier League, but rest of the four top leagues, I'm talking about that. See, that's the problem. So that's the point then, you know, players will also be, you know, very focused on their health, I feel that.
And there are reports as the temperatures will reach upwards of 50 degrees Celsius. And if you need a comparison, I don't think India's ever hit that high. Player fitness will definitely be in question. We might look at breaks because right now in the English Premier League, after the restart, since the league was going to be conducted during the summer, we actually did have more, we had juice breaks actually. So basically around half of each half, so around the 23rd minute and the 67th minute, there would be another break. The players would just come in, you know, have water, drinks, whatever, and then go back to play. We might see that again in this World Cup. Now, what can be the possible league format, Shubham? Like, how exactly will all of this be scheduled?
So, If you see the transfer window between December and January, that is going to get impacted the most because of the World Cup going on, and the clubs majorly sign depending upon the World Cup performance as well. Now, since the World Cup is ending in December, and the transfer window, I really don't know how they're going to adjust it. But it is going to be interesting. Now, coming to the leagues, transfer window is apart now. So, coming to the leagues, I mean, leagues, if you see, the only league that I can see getting impacted the most is the EPL. Because they play most of the matches on Christmas. They have the Christmas weekend matches. They have the New Year
matches. Yeah, yeah.
And the players are going to be exhausted by the time that thing comes up. So, with regards to the TV broadcasting rights and the league format and the players' health condition, I am really worried about EPL because it also sends most number of players to the World Cup. As per the reports in 2018 World Cup, if you see, around 113 players from EPL were in it. And other leagues, if you see Serie A and Bundesliga and La Liga, they actually have quite a big, winter breaks starting from December 2nd week till January last week. So, players are going to be fresh in those leagues. But the Premier League, I really have doubts on that.
Wow. A winter break from December to January. That sounds like something I would see in my school. Now, moving on from Qatar World Cup, let's get down to something mellow. Something like last week's Fantasy Premier League. Now, we did have a lot of I won't do good. I think I heard at least three of that. None of them did go good, but I think they all did well. Let's start off with our worst performer for last three seasons, who actually performed the second best this time, Nihar. How did your team do?
No, well, my team actually did way better than expected, I guess.
Okay.
You know, all the big players got me the points. I mean, Aubameyang, everyone are like Salah and all are there in my team. That defender, I don't even know, got me 5 points. I don't know who is that right now also. No, I think I made a fucked up choice anyway, but it still, you know, ended up paying me something good. So I think I should be careful now because I got that little boost of confidence now.
Okay.
I guess I'll make some good choices.
Okay. You think first time was beginner's luck this time? Like?
Probably.
Okay.
Let's see. Probably done.
All right. Now, the one we actually believe will win this time is Vikash. Vikash, how did your team do?
My team actually did pretty okay in the first game week. And I'd say it's doing good for this next game week also.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, our last guest, Nihar, he said that his team did really good. I am not sure if he even checked his team because the current points I can see is he scored 19 right now, and I think only all of his players have played.
Yeah, okay. Some good news and some okay news. All right. Nihar, really? You might want to check on your team. you should.
Like, so bad. And it strikes you back really hard, huh? I really suck at fantasies, man. Shit.
Oh, come on. It's just game week 2. We have 36 more game weeks to go. I'm sure you'll pick up.
Wildcard next week, bro.
Wildcard next week. Okay. We're hoping big from you now, Nihar. Wildcard is pretty... People have big expectations that they'll do next week really well. So, let's see how the all goes. Now, next, on to Shubham. Shubham, you topped the group. What are your thoughts on that?
I topped the group, but this time I'll be at the bottom. I'm sure of that. I currently have only 26 points. And I think Nihar will do better than me.
Okay.
That's a bold statement.
I just have 26. I'll be like half of the average point. You know, average point will be around somewhere around 45-50. My points will be around 30 at max. But I have hopes with KDB. Like, KDB is there to play. Plus, my Portugal City's team, back. Wolves, is about to play as well.
Yes. K- KDB versus Portugal right now. Yeah, that's a upcoming match, I think.
And one more update for our listeners. You know, Nelson Semedo, another Portuguese signed for Wolves. I mean, we won't be surprised if we see Ronaldo in a few months.
Yeah, and just for the sake of it, he should just come, you know. It's like, just do it just because every one of his other friends are there. That would be fun to see. Yeah, okay, it's literally his home right now. I mean, come on. There's like one English player and then like 10 other Portuguese guys. It's literally his home right now. What else does he do? Over to me, I kind of did the worst of the group. I did not keep Salah on my team. I prefer Mane, and I was like, you know what, let me not keep Salah, and I did pay for it. I did get 58 points. Vardy scored 2 goals, and he was my savior. Okay, and this week, I would really like to apologize to all podcast listeners and to current podcast commentators. Yeah, I'm sorry for United's bad match yesterday. If some of you kept United players, just take yesterday as like that one-time thing. I'm hopeful maybe next week we can turn it over. All right. Now, the next topic of our day is Real Madrid. How Real Madrid does with its transfers, how it was, how it has changed, and how it's going to be in the future. Shivam, how exactly has Madrid's transfer policy changed in recent times?
You know, I was literally waiting for this question for past 3 episodes. We haven't talked about it. And I'm one of the biggest Madrid fans. So, like, not bigger than Vikash, but yeah, somewhat. So, transfer policy coming to Madrid. I mean, they have the best transfer policy in the world right now. But Bayern Munich are on same level, I think.
Okay, this is interesting.
Yeah, the thing is, they have replaced the Galacticos, like, you know, earlier, it used to be only Galacticos in Madrid. We see Beckham, Zidane, Figo, you name it. They had it. Ronaldo. You know,
yes.
Everyone was there in Madrid. And now if you see, there are no youth signings in past 4 years, I think. After James Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. Recent one was Eden Hazard, but he did not do that well in the first. That's understandable. But if you see, the transfer policy has clearly changed. Signing high potential young players. And gelling them up with the experienced ones like Modric, Ramos, Cruz, Casemiro. You know, they are the actual leaders in the team. So, all these kids are going to have the time of their life. And as we are recording right now, I can see Martin Odegaard in the lineup. So, I'm really excited about that match as well.
Okay, this is first time. I really hope he does well. Now, Vikash, I hear a lot about Madrid's relations with the other clubs. What exactly is that about?
As Shivam said, we are getting young players and we are getting young players in at for every position, you'd say. It's like for every position, we have a senior experienced player and then we have at least 1 or 2 junior players that can potentially take up his spot in the next upcoming few years or something like that. So, so what's happening in the training sessions and everything is that we are buying the players and when they are coming to our training sessions, they are just going through the trainings. And suppose if they do not perform up to that level, they are given the chance. They are given the chance to prove their talent somewhere else because it's a given fact that Real Madrid is a big club and we have already players that are performing at the topmost level. So it's obvious for them to not get chances over here. So what Real Madrid does is it actually loans out its young players to other clubs. I wouldn't say smaller, but generally compared to the stature, they wouldn't be able to sign those players.
Okay.
So what Real Madrid does is it sends those players out on loans. And it benefits both the clubs because they are also gaining a very good young talent, which they can use for an entire season. Real Madrid is also gaining from that transaction because they'll in turn get a developed player back from the team. Another benefit of sending the players out on loans is that it creates a kind of a connection between the owners of the clubs. That see, we are creating a transaction between these two clubs, and yeah, so the new club wants a player right now, and we also have a player in excess. So we are loaning the player out.
Okay.
And in the future, if that club also developed a player that we wanted, then we already had a good connection with them, right? So it sending a player out on loan, it actually creates a stepping stone for the future transactions to possibly happen. So Real Madrid is benefiting from that transaction, and the new club is benefiting. The player is also benefiting. So it's kind of good for a win-win for everyone.
Right. That's pretty good. We can definitely see this with respect to Erling Haaland in Borussia Dortmund right now. There is a lot of news of him coming up to Real Madrid in coming seasons. This definitely might be with regards to what Vikas said, you know, the good relation. Now, as a rival club, Nihar, you know, as somebody who supports Barcelona for years and years, what is your take on this?
You know, I believe in one philosophy. I mean, see, you can, you know, troll your rivals like as much as you want if they are not doing it. But you should appreciate them if they are like really good at something. And I really believe Real Madrid, you know, deserves the recognition for what they're doing recently. You know, I think Real Madrid, you know, they can go to through one or two transfer windows without signing any single player. Because they got the good squad and they got the good backups for them on loan throughout the Europe. They lend out good players everywhere. And in back, they're getting the finished products. And, you know, in one way, it's actually a very good thing. I mean, see, they are all, the scouting network is too good. They are all snapping up the good kids from Brazil. You remember how Vinicius was paid 45 million, I guess, when he played only for 10 minutes. He had only first class football, 10 minutes of first class football or something. And Real Madrid paid 45 million to him when he was 16, I suppose. That was in 2016. Then he was due to join in 2018. I mean, he was supposed to join in 2018. I know that's a very risky amount. You never know, right? You know, these Brazilians are like, they are good, but you can never trust them. You can see how Neymar's lifestyle is, right? I mean, you can see how people went off. You can see how Adriano fell off the radar. I mean, he was like a beast at Inter Milan, I guess. How he went off after his father. That, I mean, they are not exactly your typical, you know, go-to players. You can't really bank on them all the time. You never know what things are affecting them. You know, but betting that much amount on a Brazilian kid is like a very good risk Real Madrid took, and it's paying off now. Two more years, he will be, you know, turning into a finished product. And it's paying off. And the, whatever they're doing is very good. And you know, every club should take an example out of them. For example, see Barcelona. They made a mockery of everything, out everywhere, seriously. I mean, I'm jealous of Real Madrid, how they're doing. I'm seriously jealous.
Okay.
It's really good to look at it and see how they sold Ronaldo also. You have to appreciate it. They got some 10 million overall profit from the sale of Ronaldo. The amount they spent and the amount they got at there. And that too after 10 years of his service at the club. A 33-year-old selling him for more than 100 million. It's a good deal actually for everyone involved in that.
Definitely. I mean, such good information to have. You know, from a rival club fan, definitely good to hear that. Now, over to the next topic. It is somewhat similar to Real Madrid. It is of a Real Madrid player. News has called him as a person eating hamburgers during the summer. We are, of course, talking about Eden Hazard. And the second season of Eden Hazard that everybody and anybody wants to comment on. Now, there's a lot of news about this, how he is going to do. A lot of people are going to think he's failing. There's news of photos which look like he is, you know, overweight. Let's go into that. Vikash, how do you think his second season is going to go?
So, coming to the case of Hazard, I think he'll perform really good this season because we have seen him perform at extraordinary levels in the past years, and we shouldn't really judge him on the first year that he spent in La Liga, because we all know that La Liga is a bit different from other leagues. It's a bit more passing-centric, and it's not like Hazard can do solo runs and all. I mean, he's given the opportunity now also, but he has to integrate better with the team. So he had to adjust with the team, like how we play and how the league entirely plays. So he had to do a little bit of adjustment.
Okay.
So, yeah, the first season, actually, if you see the case of Modric as well, he was called the worst signing of that year. And that we have seen in the previous years that it's really not true, and the Ballon d'Or says for itself, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So I think we shouldn't really judge Hazard on that first season, and I have really high hopes for him that he'll perform really good this season if he can, you know, control his injuries and possibly the hamburgers.
Okay. Good answer, Vikash. I really like the last part. And adding on to what Vikash said, it is really funny that I just want to see the people who are right now looking at Modric season after season from being called the worst transfer. And then every season he's out there giving assists. He's still doing all those amazing plays. It'll be funny to see the faces of all the haters right now. Now, Shubham, as another Real Madrid fan, do you feel the same about Hazard? Do you feel any changes should be needed from his side?
Yes, a bit of changes are required. First thing that he requires is to adapt according to the league. I mean, if you see the first season of his, he didn't get that many minutes as compared to what he should have got because of the injuries, basically. And currently also, he's not fit. And even I heard the news today that Zidane does not want to take any sort of risk with him because he has got injured 2 times in his first season. And that puts a big question mark on the medical team itself. So I think they should be really careful putting him on the pitch before he's fully fit. The thing about the cons is, see, when you are in, you know, when you're at home 3-4 months, you definitely put on weight no matter what you are. See, there will be some weight. Plus, you really know how the Spanish media is. They'll just make a big thing out of everything. So they just took a photo in some particular angle and they're making a big fuss about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Shubham went just full on real life, real life stuff. He's like, yeah, this is how everybody does stuff. I'm pretty sure that's the case for a lot of people right now during COVID. Kandish, Shubham, I really want to hear more about this.
I mean, yeah, that's natural. You know, you go home, you eat. What else do you do? You eat, you football, you play FIFA. Like, what else can you do when you're locked up at home?
Definitely,
That's what the guy did. He's a simple man, you know.
How much can you expect?
Yeah, and he put up a bit of weight. So that's fine. I mean, that's okay. It can be shredded off. You know, they have such good facilities over there in Madrid. He can just put it off in no time. So coming back to 100% fitness about Hazard, I mean, that is something which Real Madrid really requires. But again, bringing the good transfer policy for Madrid, we have a really good replacement as well. Vinicius will not let us feel at all that we are missing Hazard. I can really, you know, bet for that. Vinicius will be fantastic this season. And I really want to see how Zidane uses both Vinny and Hazard. You know, that's going to be something really interesting.
That is a good answer. Definitely it's Vinicius. You could definitely say he is a full-on Real Madrid player right now. I think he went off injured and he was full crying because he really wanted to play more. I mean, that kind of dedication really, you know, makes you feel how big of a player he is, how much he thinks of the team.
Yeah, unlike Man United and Man City.
No!
What they did in Iceland, you all know. Few people were called in the room.
Yes, I have no idea why Mason Greenwood of all people did that. But sure, that is a topic for another day. But it's definitely a topic for another day. We definitely should talk about the BS that happened that day. Now, what about the future? What do you see in his future right now, this season and the coming ones?
Okay, before going to the future, I would like to add, you know, 1 point for Shubham's, you know, medical staff thing. You know, they can actually hire, you know, Barcelona's previous medical staff. I heard Ronald Koeman fired them. I mean, you all can see how good work they did on Dembele for 2.5 years. I mean, the guy... I mean, just appreciate one thing. Guy stayed in hospital all day long and still he grew up muscles and all. See, that's a good thing out of it. You know, I think Real Madrid should give a chance to the ex-Barca staff. So, coming to Hazard's future, I mean, you can say, see, the first season is shit. So, obviously, second season will be way better than first. You know, that he's a guy of great ability and skill. I mean, he maxed out his potential at Chelsea, I suppose. But, you know, he fulfilled his potential at Chelsea, but, you know, he can He's a very good player. I mean, you know, every season in and out, you can give him 90 FIFA rating. I mean, most importantly, they should never compare him to, you know, the fans should never get behind him, you know, because he's a direct signing of Ronaldo. I mean, because of the timeline, how the thing happened, and how the way the funds are spent, they should never get behind him to score more goals like Ronaldo did for them. I mean, like 30, 40 goals, not possible. Hazard is a guy who will, you know, just give you some 20 goals, 15, 20 assists, that's it. In fact, Real Madrid should concentrate on getting a good striker, you know, backup for Benzema for one more year. I think they should go all out for Mbappe next season. I mean, actually, Mbappe, they should go all out. But again, the position collides, I suppose. So, well, that's the thing for the manager to sort out. So the point is, future looks great for Hazard. And, you know, even if he gets his foot right, he can eventually win the Ballon d'Or, I suppose. I mean, at least in top three. I mean, he never finished in top three, right?
Yeah.
I think this is a good chance for him, you know. Obviously, player from Real gets recognized. Obviously, he'll end up in top three of Ballon d'Or rankings. Simple as that. Over to you, Vignesh.
Yeah, just adding the point to Nihar.
Yes,
So, I don't think we even need to sign a new striker for this season.
Okay.
Because, we already talked about Real Madrid's loaning policy. So, we just got a Borja Mayoral back from Levante. So he'll be playing in this season, and we already have Luka Jovic. So it's kind of a competition between those two. So who can take up Benzema's spot? So there's already pretty much competition in that spot also. And obviously it's true that we should all obviously go all out for Mbappe, but it's depends on the player's contracts and everything. If he's ready to come on. I think Real Madrid is the most possible destination for him anyways.
Good to hear that then. He has given out his transfer intention, so to say, that he wants to leave this year. Let's see what happens then next season.
And we're almost at the end of our podcast, but we're not going to let you go without some laughs. And over to laughs this time, this week, we go to Ligue 1 in France. Ligue 1 or Uber Eats Ligue 1, which is how I'm going to call it every time I talk about the French league, has had 3 game weeks complete till now. Now, in the 3 game weeks, they have received a total of 21 red cards. 21 red cards in 30 games is one of the best records, I would say. I have no idea why they are doing this and why there's such rash play so early into, you know, the league starting. It's 3 game weeks. Why are you trying to break legs so early? And one of the biggest places we could see this was PSG versus Marseille in the Le Classique, which Marseille surprisingly won 1-0. Nihar was definitely very much upset with that. Literally nobody expected Marseille to win, but somehow they did. And there were 5 red cards in that game, 3 to the side of PSG, one of them being towards Neymar, and 2 of them being towards the side of Marseille. Very, very different news that we usually hear from Ligue 1 this time. Let's hope for the same next year too. Now, that is all for today's podcast. I hope you had fun. I hope you're staying safe out there.